Last September, the ground shifted under the small town of Tonganoxie, Kansas, about 35 miles due west of Kansas City. Tyson Foods Company was about to announce a plan to build what it called a poultry complex, a processing plant, a hatchery, and a feed mill just outside of town. When some of the residents got wind of that plan, a vocal group of opponents organized immediately. They took to Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, which spread their concerns like wildfire. Within a stunning 2 weeks, the company announced it was pulling out. This is KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Laura Ziegler, in today for Gina Kaufman. This hour, come with us to Tonganoxie to hear how this debate is still rippling through the community and learn more about the place that turned away from a certain kind of economic development. This special episode of Central Standard comes out of a reporting project here at KCUR. A team of journalists is spending months in a community in our listening area to try and get a deeper understanding of what's going on in the lives of the people who live there, get a sense of what's happening that we might not see from the headlines, and bring those stories back to the rest of our listeners. So today, our focus is Tonganoxie, the town that turned away a chicken plant. The Myers Hotel Bar is a symbol of the kind of rebirth Tonganoxie boosters are looking for. The 19th century building has been a bunch of different things over the years, a hotel, a diner, and a bus stop that was reportedly the inspiration for the play Bus Stop by William Inge. A local woman has renovated the building into a lovely little bar, an event space with live music. The front room's a cozy lounge with vintage furniture and houseplants bathed in sunlight. The day I showed up not long ago with a couple of my colleagues, we came to talk to members of the ad hoc protest movement that quickly came together around the announcement that Tyson Foods was planning to break ground soon on a $320 million poultry complex. When the company came to announce the project in September of last year, Poultry Group President Doug Ramsey said 6 months ago he didn't know where Tonganoxie was. But today, Tonganoxie, Kansas, is
the center of the Tyson universe today. And we thank you very much and appreciate you letting us come here today.
When freelance writer Ann Brockoff heard this, what she heard was that Tyson was saying Tonganoxie would be the chicken capital of the world.
And that is a massive statement to make, a statement that said, we are going to rebrand your community. He, in that one statement, said he was going to change my entire life.
Joining Brockoff in our makeshift circle of couches and chairs were a retired railroad worker, a construction project manager, a nurse, an academic coach, and a florist. The notion of Tonganoxie's brand kept coming up while we were there. The question of what Tonganoxie is and what does it want to be. Brian Morley, who works as a florist in Kansas City, loves coming home to Tongi.
I always felt kind of like it was a wonderful life in a way. People, like in the holidays, you know, you see people walking with smiles on their faces.
But opponents of Tyson talked about much more than Tonganoxie's brand. They worried about the air. More than a million chickens grown, fed, and slaughtered in one area can stink. The water. In fact, Tyson's paid millions of dollars in settlements for clean water violations in Missouri. Tyson promised 1,600 jobs, most in the $13 to $15 an hour range. Many worried these jobs wouldn't match the changing workforce here, increasingly white-collar professionals, business owners, and managers. Some believed folks here wouldn't want those jobs in the poultry plant and that Tyson would fill them with inmates or immigrants. Laura Lee Stevens said she tried to explain Tonganoxie to Tyson Brass when she'd see them in town.
You know, they were just like, hi, how are you doing? And I just said, you know, this is an A-plus town. This is an A-plus town, and it's not a match. I mean, this is a sunflower town. We're right in the middle of the beautiful Kaw Valley.
What also fueled resentment is that residents felt the wool had been pulled over their eyes as plans were being made. Officials had signed a non-disclosure agreement, not uncommon in negotiations of this size, but many felt talks were happening secretly. Facebook pages, Twitter, and Instagram exploded with anti-Tyson messages. Free-roaming barnyard chickens appeared on T-shirts, and No Tyson in Tongi was scrawled in huge letters on homes, trucks, and barns. Becky Pruitt said thousands poured out to protest.
The majority of people were overwhelmingly against having Tyson come to town, and they were angry because nobody knew this was happening. Why the non-disclosures, and it, in my opinion, felt like, who do our elected officials work for? Do they work for the community or do they work for Tyson?
The company declined to do an interview, but via email referred me to press releases and went on to write that, quote, environmental stewardship is a core value of Tyson Foods' business philosophy and commitment to sustainability. As for hiring, the company wrote, we would hope to hire from as many local communities as possible. We have zero tolerance for employing anyone who is not authorized to work in the U.S.
Good morning.
Hi, Kara. How are you?
Good. How are you?
The air inside Tonganoxie Councilwoman Kara Reed's house is saturated with the smell of freshly brewed coffee and homemade blueberry cake. As we sit around the dining room table, Reed and two other local women tell us there's another side to this story. They said some people would have liked to know more about Tyson's proposal, but were scared to speak up. Reed said the notion of a conspiracy got ridiculously out of hand.
You know, I live here too, and it's my home, and it's where I had chosen to raise my children, you know, and it just made me incredibly sad to see that kind of hatred, really, directed toward people that I've worked with for years, and I know, even though I don't always agree with them, I know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, have the best interests of Tonganoxie at heart.
Reed teaches biology and physiology to high school kids at Kansas City, Kansas Community College, and had hoped to settle in Tonganoxie permanently. But she began to think differently when she felt unsafe in a crowd of hostile protesters as she left City Hall, and when she began to worry for the safety of her children and her husband. It never bothered Reed before that Tonganoxie is 95% white. She's white herself. But then she got some disturbing emails and phone calls.
And then when all the racial stuff started, I was like, I can't raise my kids in a community that, you know, is going to be scared of people of different nationalities or that speak different languages or that, you know, are going to say, we don't want those Somalis in our community. They're going to open up a mosque. Or I'm like, I can't do it.
Today, there's a for sale sign on her tidy lawn, and they're planning to move away. To be fair, the Tyson opposition acknowledged there were some racist remarks from a small group of people. The leadership say they tried to stop the ugly rhetoric, which was amplified quickly by the megaphone of social media. But Leslie Horman Hubble, who is sitting across the dining room table, says Tonganoxie is different now.
It was a nice community to grow up in.
Hubble and her husband agreed to sell a large part of their acreage adjacent to the proposed Tyson plant. They were told the land would be used for a grain elevator. Hubble liked the idea that their property would be used for an ag-related purpose, even if Tyson's kind of farming looks very different than the family farms she grew up around.
You have to have a mindset for growth. Johnson County has a mindset for growth. Wyandotte County has a mindset for growth. You look at Leavenworth County, don't really know.
We left Kara Reed's home to head back downtown to meet up with John W. Evans, the fourth generation president of Evans Real Estate Company. The old building at the corner of 4th and Brewery downtown has a faded sign painted in big black letters. Evans Real Estate Company, since 1894. Insurance, farms, homes, loans.
You got enough room, lady?
We pile into Evan's sedan while the spry 88-year-old drives us through downtown. There's an antique shop and Ryan's public house, Laura Lee Stevens' new bar and meetup space. But there are a lot of empty storefronts.
This is a vacant building here. This is a vacant building here. This lady wants to sell this.
Just a few short blocks away on the outskirts of town, there's a beehive of construction, suburban-style split-level homes with ample lots. About 5,500 people live in Tonganoxie now, and it's growing. It's more than doubled in the last 20 years. It's a family town. About 3/4 of the population live with parents, kids, or extended family. Residents are becoming better educated, with a dramatic increase in those with graduate or professional degrees. More and more of these folks are working in professions and management. This trend has fueled a home building boom.
And they all sold for 2.25 to 2.50. They're all new. These are all built in the last year. And they're selling those houses.
But all this new housing has a downside. While neighborhood after neighborhood ripples out from downtown, the vast majority of these homeowners work outside of Tonganoxie. They commute to Lawrence, Topeka, Kansas City, or Leavenworth. Evans believes Tonganoxie is destined to be a bedroom community.
Well, I don't think you can change it. there's a lot of people. I'm going to show you a place out here, and there's people that live in Tonganoxie that's never been downtown Tonganoxie. Okay?
The problem is that houses alone can't support the population growth. Without commercial contributions to the tax base, the demands of higher school enrollment, additional police, fire, and other city services will outpace tax revenue. Tonganoxie Days is the summertime festival where the community comes together for funnel cakes and snow cones and to sit in lawn chairs in front of a music stage in blistering heat. Many won't talk about Tyson anymore, as if it were just a moment of extraordinary unpleasantness in their otherwise bucolic lives. Others admit it was traumatic, a still festering wound. But there have been some changes around here since last fall. More people are becoming engaged in civic and political affairs. Two of the city council members were voted out of office after the Tyson ordeal. Ann Brockhoff, who freaked out when she heard of Tyson's plans, has become an activist. She's here gathering signatures for a citizens' petition to expand the Leavenworth County Commission.
I think people have picked up. They're moving on. They're thinking about what business can I open, what office can I run for, how can I be a part of this community.
Same thing for Vicki Kaas. She's jumped into politics for the first time and is running for one of those seats on the county commission. Her platform, more strategic economic development.
And then we just need to get up off our two skis and start making the plans and say, okay, what type of industry, what type of business do we want?
Tyson is taking its new poultry plant to Gibson County, Tennessee, a community where the jobs are welcome. In an email to KCUR, the company said its investment in Kansas is, quote, on hold, but that it continues to have conversations with communities in Kansas and other states. The experience with Tyson has raised questions Tonganoxie residents must now consider. As their town changes, what do they want those changes to look like? Will Tonganoxie become an outer suburb of commuters, a quiet rural farm town, or what seems most likely right now, some combination of both? You are listening to KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Laura Ziegler. We're visiting Tonganoxie, Kansas today as part of a special KCUR reporting project. In a minute, we sit down with three passionate residents, each with a kind of different vision for the town's future. This is KCUR's Central Standard. I'm Laura Ziegler, visiting Tonganoxie 9 months after a groundswell of local opposition drove out a chicken plant, but also revealed some differing approaches to community development and community life. I and my colleagues were back and forth from Tonganoxie, or Tongi, as the locals call it, and at one point I returned to bring around the table three voices that kind of represent the past, present, and future of Tonganoxie. We heard a little from some of them at the beginning of the show, but we're going to dig into some of the issues that animate this story. For our conversation, we met up at Laura Lee Stevens' downtown pub. A sign hangs over the front door, Ryan's Public House. It used to be a former welding shop, and she's renovated it into a funky community gathering spot. There's a marble checkerboard she picked up at a thrift store, a quiet loft space for those who need to retreat, and on one wall a massive mural with scenes of life in Tongi, including one of the protests against Tyson. So our guests met us here one recent morning, and I'll let them introduce themselves.
Mayor Jason Ward. I was presided as mayor during the Tyson proposal.
John Evans, president of Evans Real Estate Company in Tonganoxie. We've been established since 1895, 123 years, and the Tyson project in Tonganoxie was a negative approach to everybody in our community except just a few.
I'm Laura Lee Stevens. I was born and raised here in Tonganoxie. My dad was the old town doctor here for 60 years, and then after being gone for about 20 years, I moved back, and I was in the middle of running for city council when the whole Tyson thing, when we became aware of that as a community. So I became a strong opponent to it, a very vocal opponent, I really suspended and stopped all campaigning for city council and just worked on that effort. As it turns out, I did get elected to city council.
And remain on the city council.
Yeah, it's a 4-year term, and that was just right after the Tyson movement, I guess, came about. But looking forward, I'm excited to be on the council, and a lot of good things are happening here.
The Tyson Food Company is now building its state-of-the-art $320 million poultry plant in Gibson County, Tennessee. Mayor Ward, you recused yourself from the debate, but you were among city officials that were charged with being secretive about the deal and having had relationships with Tyson before the community knew about it. What's your feeling now that Tyson has decided to invest in Tennessee?
I would say that my lens, it may be different than a lot of folks that don't deal with economic development on a day-to-day basis. The Tyson project is not dissimilar to any economic development project that we would have in Tonganoxie, in that when folks in Tyson's position and companies like Tyson are looking for places to locate, they typically work through locators, and they reach out and they say, we have a project that involves a company that's in food manufacturing, and they're interested in a space that is so large, and we think it would be about a $300 million investment and would provide this many jobs. We have certain requirements for utilities and space. Are you interested? And so, communities that do want to grow and are interested in economic development typically say yes. That's something that we've done in Tonganoxie. We look at our tax base and we look at how the community has existed in the past and what we need to do to grow our tax base, and commercial and industrial development is something that we've identified as a way to do that. We have the industrial park that is developed to our south, and we're also interested in companies that would come and be residents along our borders.
And well, that industrial park was hundreds of millions of dollars investment by the city, or tens of millions. I can't remember the exact number.
It's about 240 acres.
Right.
And the original investment was a couple million dollars, and it was a project that was initiated through a partnership with the Leavenworth County Port Authority and with Leavenworth County. So we viewed it as a partnership, a way to grow the city and add to Leavenworth County as a whole.
But just to be clear, the industrial park has been relatively vacant for the last 10 years subsequent to that investment. It's been difficult to attract business to that park.
Sure. It's all about timing, right? So the project in which we purchased that land happened just before the recession. And, it was great that we were able to acquire the property and start to make plans for economic development there. But the recession set everything back. We continued to advance infrastructure and put ourselves in a position to develop that property during the recession. But now things are turning and about 18 months ago, we received a $5 million grant from the county to further develop that property, and we have our first tenant.
That's Unilock?
Yeah, Unilock, which is a paving company, and so things are looking great. We're very excited about it.
You told me earlier that this decision, or the decision that Tyson made not to come to Tonganoxie quickly because of the huge opposition that emerged very quickly after the decision was made, could inhibit further economic development, might make it, you were worried that maybe other companies would see what happened to Tyson and decide we're not even going to look in Tonganoxie.
Sure. I think all of us are concerned that could be the case. And companies and locators that are looking for sites are looking for communities that they want to make sure are welcoming and that they're going to be comfortable in. And so I think the task for us is to say, that was an outlier, and that's not necessarily something that says Tonganoxie is not business friendly and doesn't want to have these companies come in, because I think we very much do. It was just a grand lesson for us all, I think, in the way that you go about it.
Laura Lee, you were part of the, I guess, core group that opposed the plant. Are you concerned that future economic development may be at risk because of this? You know, companies like Tyson are going to go on YouTube as they're sort of looking at different places to locate and see these mass protests and, frankly, some hostility that came out around the possibility of them coming here and just say, we're not interested.
I wasn't part of the core group that planned any of the major protests. I helped with a small piece that we had some T-shirts designed by a relative, you know, that were pretty cute. But besides that, no, I'm not worried about it. With Tyson, that, like Jason said, was an outlier of a company. And if companies like Unilock, with good reputation, you know, that's different. And people say, oh, shame on them for protesting Tyson. Oh, that would have been so good for them. Well, those folks were overlooking a lot of moral issues with that company. How they treat their employees, many of them who are new to this country and very vulnerable. They were overlooking the poisoning of the environment wherever those companies are located. Documented, verifiable case after case after case of that being a morally poor company. And so, I would hope that any community that were a company like that with a bad reputation and documented, verifiable, you know, violations by the EPA, I hope that anybody would protest a company like that. And if it was going wherever those folks are saying, oh, shame on them for protesting, that was bad that they protested, well, okay, then let it go right in the middle of whatever county they live in.
Well, just to flip that issue around. Mm-hmm. There are communities that are hungry for those jobs and don't have the luxury, frankly, of saying, you know, we're worried about the risk of this or that by Tyson coming here. We need the jobs. We have a declining population.
Well, it seems like the company ended up at a place that was more welcoming for them. Probably a place that already had industry, like a lot of industrialized area. Our business park, our industrialized area, I mean, look, if you look around here, I mean, I've lived in some other places in Kansas that have a lot of industry, and this is not one of those places. We're in the heart of the beautiful Kaw Valley here. This is a sunflower town and not a mega farm factory town. So if there are other communities that were already more set up, well situated and welcoming for that, that's for those communities to deal with. But I think that Tonganoxie made the right choice at the right time. And over time, other companies, good companies who aren't afraid to say, hey, we're looking, who wants us? They'll find us. They'll be a right fit.
I want to address the charge that there was hateful rhetoric, that there was some racist undertone to the opposition. I know that the majority of people have denounced that and said that was a fringe group of people that did, and particularly with social media, the way maybe a few voices can get amplified really, really quickly. But let me point out that census data does reflect in Tonganoxie that it's very homogeneous, 95% white, that increasingly better educated. In the last almost 15 years, the percentage of folks with professional graduate degrees increased almost 200%. Increasingly white collar. In 2000, 53% of the workers were in management or professional jobs. 3 years ago, that number jumped to 70%. So this is a rapidly growing white middle to upper middle class community. So can you see where people might say there would be cause for concern if some of these $13 to $15 jobs were being offered, even 1,600 of them, to a community that maybe wanted to preserve its identity.
You know, I think really and truly, Tyson, it's negative. So we need to get off of the Tyson project and go forward and be wanting companies to come here. And it's going to take an oversell, since we did have a negative with this company.
What does an oversell look like?
Well, we need to get tax abatements for these new companies, which, well, everybody wants some of them, but it may have to give more than we really should to get a company to come to Tonganoxie. Really, Tonganoxie is right at the present not in an industrial area. We're homes and people are driving to work. 95% of all of our people who live here are driving to work. We're a bedroom town, and that's what we're going to keep that way. We have a lot of developments happening, and we have a lot of homes being built, and we have a good school system. So I think that we need to forget Tyson altogether from our community.
Okay, we'll move forward, Mr. Evans. Thank you very much. Yes, that's Mr. Evans talking about Tonganoxie. We're here in Tonganoxie at Ryan's Pub. We're talking with John Evans, who's a fourth-generation realtor here, Mayor of Tonganoxie, Jason Ward, and Laura Lee Stevens, the proprietor and owner of Ryan's Pub. Let's talk about the community, which you've just raised. You say it's a bedroom community. 95% of the people live here. The majority, most of those people, work in Lawrence, Leavenworth, Topeka, Kansas City. Can Tonganoxie sustain itself as a self-contained small rural town if most of the people go for their goods and services in other places, Mayor Ward?
No, I think, you know, you have to continue to create additional revenue. I mean, the bottom line is we need to have a balanced economy in Tonganoxie. We need to have the commercial and industrial businesses. We also need to have a good base of retail. I mean, we have a historic downtown that provides great opportunity for that retail environment that you can't get at the Legends, you can't get it at other places. And so we have a unique opportunity in Tonganoxie to invite folks that want that feel, that want that walkability, that want the small town environment, but yet have an opportunity to create jobs and the tax base that we'll need to sustain the town moving forward. I mean, and the fact that we have all of the real estate that we continue to have, and we are not landlocked. So a lot of communities get in positions where the opportunities for growth and development that they have are through redevelopment. And we actually have opportunities to expand and grow because of the land that we have. And so we're at this interesting crossroads of what does Tonganoxie want to be in the future, and how do we preserve our heritage while we continue to provide ourselves opportunities to support it.
Mr. Evans, you took us on a driving tour of the town earlier, and you showed us all the vacant buildings downtown here in Tonganoxie. And you also said, I can show you people in this booming real estate market that never come downtown. So how do you address this problem of sort of making downtown happen? I mean, do some of those people come to Ryan's Pub? Do they go to the Myers Hotel? Are they the kind of people that have their families in that Jackson Heights subdivision, some of these really rapidly growing bedroom communities that are really going to care about coming to a downtown Tonganoxie?
Well, what I told you, there were some vacancies in our town, and we need to fill the buildings up with retail sales of some nature, and it's going to be unique how we can get them here.
But how do you get that retail if you don't have a critical mass of traffic?
Well, we need to have, we did used to have a cup bakery here, and they moved out because maybe the rent was too high or people weren't eating the cupcakes. But I think our detail needs to have maybe a not a tax abatement, but maybe our city could get in and pay part of the utilities to get the first time people to move into the buildings. That was one of my thoughts. I've bought buildings, I've rented buildings, and we just need to get the retail business back downtown. We're a 3-block area, and so we need to get that done quickly as we can.
The Economic Development Council here tells me that in the context of this booming residential market, the number of vacant houses is actually increasing.
We have lots of rental properties in our town, and we're building more.
Is that a good thing?
I don't think so. I think we need to have residential homes with families that will support our school. If you're involved in our school, you should be involved in our downtown.
I don't want to put too fine a point on this, but I don't want to leave this conversation with making sure that I follow up on that notion of how people charged Tonganoxie with this element of hate. And I know you don't want to talk about Tyson, but I just want to draw you out and get your reactions one more time to, is Tonganoxie a place where there is room for people who don't want to see those of a different color, of a different income level, of a different country?
I hardly ever hear or see anybody who says racist stuff in this town. And the few times since I've moved back and I've heard somebody say something that is uncomfortable for me to hear because it's racist in nature, I say, hey, we don't say that anymore. It's not 1950s. Like, what are you even talking about? You know, and I'm okay confronting anybody. And I realize that sometimes people don't know it's not okay to say stuff that racism isn't okay. That was the sunset on that a long time ago, unless somebody tells them. So I think in a way that the Tyson movement and people being called out on saying, hey, what you're saying is uncomfortable because it sounds really racist or xenophobic, I think that was educating for those individuals in that community. So either they've stopped, that maybe they've re-examined some of their things at the best case scenario, or at the least they've just learned to keep their mouth shut, because you'll find people who are afraid of difference and afraid of others no matter where you go. Any city, any community, it's not unique to this town. But I think that I think a lot of education happened.
So all of you have talked in one way or another about what Tonganoxie is, what it is becoming, and what you want it to be. Let me just close by asking each of you to give me your definition of what Tonganoxie is to you. You all have slightly different perspectives, slightly different roles in the community. Laura Lee Stevens?
So, Laura, this town is the next place that's going to kind of pop. I see people come in here for shows, and they're like, I didn't know this town had a downtown. This is a darling downtown. Several of us have Airbnbs in town. People come through just to stay for the night or for a wedding. They're like, I had no idea this town was so great. We love this town. Because now I'm standing behind the bar and listening to people come to our town for the first time, see our pub, Ryan's Public House, and the Myers Hotel Bar for the first time, and hearing their comments, everybody falls in love. And, this town has a funny name, but it has, it's easy to love. And that's why I think we've had this increase in population. Also, it's affordable. There are some vacant storefronts even in downtown Lawrence and downtown wherever. That's not unusual, but the benefit here is that it's affordable for entrepreneurs to come in, and for people who have startup ideas to come into this community. And I think we're on the verge of something really great here and something really big, and I'm excited to watch it.
John Evans? Tonganoxie, a bedroom community or a self-sustaining rural agrarian town?
Well, I think the rural mention that you said, we're not rural anymore. We're suburban. We're so close to Lawrence University, K-12, Kansas City, Leavenworth, Topeka. Our town is growing, but sometimes growth is too much. And I don't think we can handle all the growth that we're having right now. We're going to have to hire more people to work for the city. Taxes are going to be higher. So I think really in the long run, it's a good town to live in for bringing them a family. And that's what I'm promoting, retail, because that's my job, to make the town accessible to everybody.
Okay, Mayor Ward, it's on you to talk about how to sustain this bedroom community and get the retail that's going to provide the tax base to move it forward.
No pressure, right?
Good luck.
So, yeah, you know, Tonganoxie's challenges are really no different than any other city. We're always looking for ways to increase the tax base, lower our taxes for the folks that are here, and create a sustainable lifestyle moving forward. When I look at Tonganoxie, I look at a complete city. So we have a grocery store, we have pharmacies, we have doctors, we have dentists, we have lawyers. I mean, we have everything that a larger city has, all within a very walkable space, in a small town environment where you know most folks. And a slower pace. The greatest rush hours in Tonganoxie are in the morning when folks drop their kids off, and in the afternoon when they pick them up, and then Saturday morning for breakfast for about 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. So you know, that's pretty appealing to a lot of people. And you know, we have a great opportunity in Tonganoxie. It is a wonderful place. With a lot of wonderful people.
That was Mayor Jason Ward, Realtor John Evans, and Laura Lee Stevens, City Council member and the owner of the downtown Ryan's Public House in Tonganoxie. Tongi isn't alone in trying to find its way as a mushrooming exurban area. Studies show collar communities around cities nationwide are growing at a significantly faster pace than the population as a whole. In a minute, we take a look at how this past year in Tonganoxie may have influenced the race for state representatives. I'm Laura Ziegler, and this is KCUR Central Standard. This is KCUR Central Standard. I'm Laura Ziegler with a special episode looking at some of the economic and social forces at play in Tonganoxie, Kansas. Now we want to turn our conversation to politics. Will these questions Tonganoxie is dealing with have an impact on the upcoming elections? Will the Tyson debate in particular play a role? For this, we turn to Stephen Coranda of the Kansas News Service. He covered the No Tyson in Tongi debate last year, and he's covering state and national elections for us this year. When I spoke with him recently, I told him what we found, that people were still talking about Tyson in Tonganoxie, and in pretty different ways, and that we found some pretty raw feelings. I wondered if he'd been seeing the same thing reflected in different campaigns.
Well, that's what I was wondering as well. But candidates of both parties told me it is still on people's minds. Democrat Stuart Sweeney is a candidate challenging Republican Representative Willie Dove for the Kansas House. Sweeney says part of the reason he's running is because of Dove's response to the Tyson plant. He doesn't believe it was strong enough. And Sweeney says he does still hear about Tyson from people.
Generally, they're just worried about Tyson kind of rising like a phoenix and coming back again. And the legislature has passed restrictions now to make it harder to fight Tyson.
What does Willie Dove have to say about it? What's his position?
Well, Dove was open-minded about this issue at first. He kind of thinks he's being mischaracterized here. People think he was for it, but he says he was really only open-minded in the beginning because he wanted to get the facts before making a decision. For example, he liked the economic development aspect, but he did not like that the proposal was created behind closed doors. And when it was made public, it seemed like it was kind of a done deal, and that's what really upset a lot of people. So when local people in his area opposed it, he decided he would as well. Now he says he kind of hears a mixed reaction from people when he's out campaigning.
I hear thanks on both sides, you know, and then I hear no thanks, okay, on people who are far away, who could have benefited from the ancillary benefits of bringing a Tyson in. Businesses wanted it. Businesses wanted it very, very badly. The citizens within the Tonganoxie area, they did not want it.
Dove does say he would make the same decision again and oppose it. He hopes kind of misunderstandings about his position don't end up affecting the race.
Well, what's your sense about this, Stephen, if I can ask you? I mean, do you have a feel for whether he's kind of trying to talk out of both sides of his mouth here?
So Dove says he learned about this whole thing the same way pretty much everyone else did. Lawmakers, the local lawmakers, did not have a bunch of advance notice on it. So it kind of came as a surprise to him as well. And he did not take a stance initially. But then after, for example, this big public meeting where a lot of people voiced concerns, at that meeting, he came out against it after hearing from all the people. So my view from looking at it from the outside is that he didn't necessarily flip-flop. He started open-minded, but then opposed it when people in his area wanted him to oppose it. I can see why people who really didn't like the plant could be unhappy that he ever was open-minded about it. But just looking at it from the outside, I think it's not necessarily a flip-flop.
Mm-hmm. What can you tell us about who these guys are?
Willie Dove has been in the Kansas House for several terms. He's a conservative Republican, but he takes on some kind of interesting issues. For example, he made a big push for industrial hemp here in Kansas as a new and different agricultural crop that farmers in the area and across Kansas could maybe grow as a new revenue option. So he's kind of an interesting guy. He's taking on some big issues that are kind of off the beaten path. So the Democrat in this race, Stuart Sweeney, he's a retired railroad worker. He also did ag on the side. And so he is kind of a political newcomer, but he's coming into this race. He's really hit the ground running. From talking to him, he's been doing a lot of campaigning and been out talking to people about a variety of issues, not just the Tyson plant, although he does say that's one of the reasons he decided to run.
What about the 42nd district, the district adjacent to the 38th? That does include Tonganoxie. Is the Tyson debate affecting things there as well?
It's actually kind of less of an issue in this district, even though it includes the city of Tonganoxie. Republican Representative Jim Carlskin currently holds that seat. He's kind of a moderate Republican, and he's facing a more conservative challenger named Lance Neely in the primary, as well as a Democrat in the general election. But it just is not as much of an issue in this race, according to Carlskin.
Well, I know my challenger in the primary, he was opposed to it as well. So I don't look for it to be a factor with respect to the primary or the general.
So to put it simply, all the candidates are pretty much on the same page.
So Tyson really isn't an issue in that race, but we heard pretty uniformly, and I think you can affirm this, that it is still on people's minds. What are observers thinking about how it might affect the upcoming election?
I talked about this with Patrick Miller, who's a political scientist at the University of Kansas, and he says local controversies like this really can be motivating for voters. They're issues that campaigns can kind of leverage as a way to possibly sway voters.
For some, it could possibly be an issue like this that comes up, and if they find, you know, that someone who they might normally prefer based on their party isn't with them on this local issue they happen to care about, then for that person, it could be a deciding issue that might sway their vote.
So the question here is really the 38th district with Willie Dove, Republican Representative Dove. And Miller says the question is whether there are enough voters who could be swayed by this issue to make a difference. And that's kind of what we don't know. In the case of Representative Dove's district, Miller says it's a district with a healthy Republican lean. So it would take a sizable swing to put that seat at risk. What he's really getting at is these issues hit home for voters because they're kind of in their backyard in a way. And as you go up to wider races, if you start looking at the second district at the governor's race, you know, it just doesn't affect those races nearly as much because it's on the minds of people in this specific area.
This story was largely about whether this town, Tonganoxie, is becoming something more suburban or remaining something more agrarian and rural. Can we learn anything about that trend from what happened in Tonganoxie? Is there anything we can say about a kind of shifting political demographic from this rural to suburban shift?
I, At this point, it's not clear to me if it really is affecting the way people are thinking about politics and will be voting. That's something that we're going to find out. But it is one of the issues that was on the minds of people when it came to the Tyson plant. I mean, Tonganoxie has an industrial park that they're hoping to attract business to. And for example, Stuart Sweeney, the Democratic candidate we talked about earlier, told me that he'd really like to see maybe industrial, technology, or corporate development in that industrial park, not agricultural development like the Tyson plant. So it kind of, I think maybe the shift in the type of community this is maybe affecting the way people thought about the whole Tyson plant issue.
That was Stephen Caranda of the Kansas News Service based here at KCUR. To end the hour, we want to take you somewhere that speaks to Tonganoxie in a little bit of a different way, a sentimental way. But we think it speaks to Tonganoxie's sense of place about as well as anything. The door swings open into the front room of Doc's Pop Shop in downtown Tonganoxie. It's a room with wooden shelves lined with bottles of soda. It's tiny, about the size of, well, what you'd expect a waiting room in a small town doctor's office might be. And that's what it was, the waiting room of Tonganoxie's family doctor, Doc Phil Stevens.
All the chairs were always in the same place, and a little window right over there. What was Mrs. Hardesty? Worked there for years and years.
Jennifer Troll was one of Doc Stevens' patients as a child. She's downtown for the summer street fair, Tonganoxie Days, where the heat has brought Troll and a bunch of others into what's now this specialty soda shop. Visitors are opening the 70-year-old ivory-colored Frigidaire that Doc kept his lunch and his medicines in. They're hand-picking a cold bottle of pop, cream soda, root beer, and more.
What'd you ask for?
Mexican squirt.
It's grapefruit soda.
It's squirt soda. But it has real sugar in it, made in Mexico. It's literally squirt from Mexico.
Doc Stevens was the family doctor in Tonganoxie for 60 years to the day. Folks here talk about him as a pillar of the community, a legend. Their eyes twinkle when they remember his gentle kindness and his dedication. Jason Stevens, a strapping high school senior with a mop of wavy brown hair, is the good doctor's grandson. Today he's minding the store from a stool opposite the front door. At his feet is a worn cardboard box filled with wooden blocks.
The rectangular box. There's a couple with letters, maybe five or six. But the rest are blue squares and red rectangles. And people just, they come in, they're like, oh my God, I remember playing with the blocks.
He says people are always engaging him in conversation about his grandfather.
And then they'll talk to me for sometimes 45 minutes about their experience with my grandpa. And sometimes I have to hold back tears because it's just so sweet. People remember, you know, him from such a young age to even 6 years ago when they stubbed their toe and didn't know if something was wrong.
Through the old waiting room is a short, narrow hall. At one end is an old standing scale with that kind of weight that slides sideways up and down the numbers. At the other end of the hall is the doctor's examining room. It's preserved in time as if he was just out for lunch. His soft examining table is still covered with the clean white paper. His old stethoscope and his scissors, tape, and tweezers are out on the counter. His pad for writing prescriptions is on his desk. Lining the walls are groups of black and white baby pictures in egg-shaped openings, dozens of babies that Dr. Stevens delivered. Janice Barbosa is a cousin of Dr. Stevens.
He's the old town doctor. And you look, I mean, this is like, you know, the population of Tonganoxie on his wall. You know, he delivered practically every one of them.
Just across the street from Doc's Pop Shop, Laura Lee Stevens, Doc's daughter, has opened Ryan's Public House. That's the bar and hangout space that we visited earlier in the show. There'd been a funeral up the street, so some of the mourners were gathering at the back. A lot of people had migrated inside out of the heat and humidity. The doctor's 88-year-old wife, Betty, was sitting on a chair with a bowl of candied nuts on a table in front of her.
He loved his patients. He got to know all of them.
She says each and every one was equally important to him, and she remembers one woman her husband had sent to a specialist, a surgeon.
And then she came back in a few days crying. They wouldn't see her unless she could give them $75. So he had his secretary go get his personal checkbook and give her a check for $75. She didn't have any money. She didn't have any job.
Betty Stevens remembers all the missed holidays and the late nights she waited up for her husband when he got called out for a baby delivery or an emergency. As they both aged, she stopped getting up with him, but he continued to go out on calls until summer of 2015.
July the 1st was his 60th year. He didn't want any party, any celebration. He came home that night, ate supper. After about 15 or 20 minutes, he said, "I'm sorry, honey, I've just got to go to bed. I'm so tired." Then he went to bed, and he never woke up the next morning.
At Doc's Pop Shop, there's a basket of safety suckers, those colored round lollipops with a loopy string attached. Kids get them when they leave, whether they were good or not, the same way they did after a visit to Doc Stevens. This episode of KCUR's Central Standard was the result of a special KCUR reporting project in Tonganoxie, led by myself and Ron Jones. Stay tuned for other reporting we'll be doing around KCUR's listening area. This show was produced with the help of Amy Jeffries and Suzanne Hogan and edited by Sylvia Maria Gross. The audio from today's show will be archived at kcur.org/centralstandard by this afternoon. You can also read more about Tonganoxie and see photos of some of the people and places we discussed at kcur.org. Central Standard will be back tomorrow with Gina Kaufman and the food critics talking about the food you can get at festivals in and around town. I'm Laura Ziegler. Thanks for listening. Next is Up to Date.